Well, hey, what's going on? Happy Saturday. Nick Kirby here. Welcome to Chatterbox Reds, proudly sponsored by DSC Commodities. Coming up in just a bit, myself and Trace Fowler from Chatterbox Reds Live on YouTube. But first, let's recap the Reds game from Friday night. First of three against the LA Angels. Reds looking to end their three-game losing streak, and they would have to do it without Christian Encarnacion Strand and Jamer Candelario, both still out of the lineup with an illness. In the bottom of the second, Ellie De La Cruz singled on a little chopper up the middle. Ellie then stole second base on the 1-0 pitch. Jake Fraley was at the plate. Then he took off on the very next pitch for third base. Angels catcher Logan O'Hop threw the ball down the line. Ellie's speed made it 1-0 Cincinnati, and he did it literally on just a chopper right back up the middle. The Angels would get one back in the fifth inning off of Nick Lodolo, but Tyler Stevenson got that run right back with an absolute bomb into the bleachers, making it 2-1 Reds. Nick Lodolo was brilliant through 7 1/3 innings. He did leave with a runner on second and third, but Fernando Cruz picked him up by striking out Joe Adell and Zach Neto to end the inning and keep it Reds up 2-1. And it should be noted that Tyler Stevenson made a couple really nice picks on balls that were in the dirt. There was a runner on third, of course, in that spot. If he wasn't able to do that, the Angels could easily tie the game up in that spot. Nick Lodolo's final line from Friday night, 6 1/3 innings pitched, did give up 7 hits, just the 1 run, no walks, and he struck out 6. And Lodolo only needed 80 pitches to get through 6 1/3. In the bottom of the eighth, Jonathan India walked, Spencer Steer singled, and then Stuart Fairchild batting third. He laid down a sack bunt. Nick Martini was then hit by a pitch on the backside, and that brought in a run. And then Ellie De La Cruz stepped to the plate and hit a 3-run opposite field home run to left field, making it 7-1 Reds. Buck Farmer, he went 1-2-3 in the ninth. Reds win 7-1. Reds now back above 500 at 10-9. A couple additional notes from the game. Jonathan India, he snapped his 0-for-24 skid. He was 1-for-3 with a walk. The Reds did have Will Benson, Jake Fraley, and Nick Martini all in the lineup against a lefty in starter Tyler Anderson, of course, with Candelario and Encarnacion Strand out. Those three went a combined 0-for-8 with one walk, the walk coming off from Jake Fraley. The Reds did play some really good defense in this game. Ellie De La Cruz started a really nice double play. Spencer Steer playing first base on Friday night, he threw a runner out at the plate trying to take an extra base. And then Jonathan India actually made a glove flip on a do-or-die play to get a force out to Ellie De La Cruz. And oh, on Ellie De La Cruz, 2-for-4 with a home run, his 6th already of the season. He stole 3 bases. He's got 10 of those on the season. His OPS over 1,000. And this stat from our friend Reds fan Brandon, Ellie De La Cruz is the first player in National League history to hit 6 home runs and steal 10 bases through his team's first 19 games. The only other player in baseball ever to do that was Ken Williams of the St. Louis Browns. They were in the American League back in 1922. And here's what the man himself, Ellie De La Cruz, had to say after the game.
Ellie, 3 stolen bases, a 3-run home run. How would you describe your day offensively and on the base paths?
Electric. Electrifying.
After you guys kind of struggled to hit in Seattle, do you feel like you needed to create something by stealing some bases there in the early part of the game?
Yeah, but we got the same mentality every day, and we just got a great team. We hustle every day, and we just try to win every day.
How exciting is it the opposite field success you're having this year?
It feels great. It's so exciting. I feel so exciting.
Is that a product, byproduct of anything? Is that because you're letting the ball come in deeper or something like that?
I just looking for good pitch to hit, and I swing.
A lot of baseball players are told don't steal third with 2 outs. Does that matter to you, or do you have the speed to make up for it?
No. I always think about starting the next base. Always. Aggressive.
What's it like when you hear the crowd chanting your first name over and over again? What's that moment like?
This feels amazing. I mean, the crowd, they support us every day. They're here, and they electrify every day. I love that.
And your starting pitcher, Nick Lodolo.
Nick, you made it look so easy out there. What about your stuff worked so well for you today?
Early on, I definitely thought I was sharp. I was commanding the ball pretty well. I was jumping ahead. I think as it got later on, I started to lose some guys in some counts. So I think that's one of the biggest emphasis, at least for me, that I'm going to take away from it, that I got to stay locked in on. But like I said, yeah, overall, I thought I threw the ball good. Just some things, like I said, at the end of the game, I need to clean up a little bit.
Through two starts, you look pretty good. How are you feeling physically?
Yeah, I feel great. It feels good to be back out there. You know, it's been a long time coming. So I'm excited. I'm just excited to pitch tonight in front of the home crowd. First time even wearing the City Connect uniform, because last year I never even got to put it on and be in the dugout. So, it was pretty cool.
What did the play that Spencer made on the ground ball that you referred to get the guy at home, what did that mean to you?
It's great. I mean, you know, it's a heads-up play from Steer there, and it just allows you to stay in rhythm. You're not really skipping a beat there. Like I said, you get the guy on second there. I think it was, what was that, like the third inning maybe? Guy hits the ball in the hole, and so, yeah, I mean, just keeps me in rhythm, really, honestly.
Since you weren't pitching anymore when he came up last season, did you feel like you got the full Helly De La Cruz supporting experience?
No, because I never got to watch him like play that much. I wasn't in the dugout. I was like most fans, just watched him on TV. So, Ellie's a great kid. He works hard, and, I mean, you can definitely see the talent. The guy's pretty unbelievable.
What's the difference on the close?
Ellie?
Yeah, you saw him on TV like the rest of us did, or in the stands.
Yeah.
But to see it, like, on the mound.
I think truly actually seeing how fast he is in person is pretty incredible. Like, I mean, the guy takes like six steps to first base. So.
Through four innings, you only had nine pitches that weren't strikes, and probably, according to the strike zone on TV, half of those were strikes. Do you realize when you're in a doing that and being that efficient, does it register at all?
The number of them doesn't really register, but I definitely know, like, I'm jumping ahead here, like, really good, and, like, you can tell you're not throwing that many pitches. So, I think the short answer is I'm not really paying attention to that, but, like, I know I'm in a good rhythm and I'm jumping ahead of guys, I'm on the attack, so it's a good spot to be in, you know? It's definitely a lot better.
And here's David Bell on the Reds' big win on Friday night.
David, how much was Nick Lodolo missed from this rotation after his night tonight?
Yeah, I mean, he definitely was missed. He has a long career ahead of him, so we just wanted him to get back out there and pitch. He needed to pitch, and, you know, he prepared himself, went through a lot to get back out there, and he's been great. I mean, tonight he definitely set the tone for us by throwing strikes. Obviously, really good stuff to go along with that, but he attacked their hitters, some of the really good hitters at the top of the order that can walk. Like, he attacked them through strikes, and I really thought that set the tone for the whole game for us.
And what can you say about Fernando Cruz stepping in and get two of those strikeouts? That was huge at that point in the game.
It was. He loves it. You know, he has fun coming in those situations where, he knows he has to make pitches. And I thought he did a great job. He has great stuff, the splitter. He can get swings and misses, but I thought he did a great job reading the hitter. 3-2, threw a really good fastball when their hitter was doing a nice job laying off the split. I thought that was a great pitch.
I guess, like, early on, Helly De La Cruz just kind of created his own offense in a way with the single, the two stolen bases and scoring. Obviously, the home run. What did it mean to kind of have him
start? Yeah, I mean, it means so much to our team because it's a big part of our team and how we play and the base running and the energy that brings. The base running, we spend a lot of time on it. I mean, Ellie, you know, he understood the situation. He understood the pitcher, and he studies. And he maybe didn't have great jumps right there. And in a lot of cases, he just kind of outran the throw. So he did. I mean, that was a big part of the game for us, and you know, he has a lot of confidence in his ability on the bases, and you know, showed up tonight.
And lastly, this was right after the game. Tyler Stevenson.
Tyler, your second home run of the season, tomahawked into the upper deck in left field. Did that feel as good as it sounded?
Yeah, that might have been the best one I've ever felt. I've been putting really good swings the past week or so. Been hitting some balls hard, just kind of right at guys, kind of been unlucky, but just continuing the process, and it felt good to kind of see one go over the fence and land.
111 off the bat. Where does that rank in Tyler Stevenson's career?
I think that's 1-1. I think that's my hardest ball hit. So, we'll take it.
Ellie De La Cruz casually steals three bases and hits a three-run bomb. How have you seen him mature from his rookie year to this season?
It's been a blast to watch, really, ever since the start of the season, just finding ways to get on. And honestly, his speed is one of the more impressive things that I've ever seen. Just what he can do on the game, just change the game, just stealing bases, some of the plays he makes in the field. I'm proud of him. He's been working really hard.
Speaking of being proud of someone, Nick Lodolo gives you guys length. He limits the Angels to one run. What impressed you most about his start?
I'm just glad to see him pitching again. I think we all are. It's been a long time. And obviously what he did at his first start to back it up again tonight. He looked sharp. I mean, I'm proud of him. He's been working hard. So I'm just glad to see him be throwing again and just being able to command the zone. Some huge strikeouts, big double play on the line drive, just making some pitches when he needed to.
Following three straight losses, how does a win like tonight set the tone for the rest of the series, for the rest of the homestand, really?
Yeah, it's huge. It was a long trip. I feel like we were all kind of fatigued a bit, but we got to do better at that, taking care of ourselves. But it's good to be home. We know we're going to be home for a little bit, but to start a series off with a win is huge for sure.
Well, our deep drive of the game for Friday night was Tyler Stevenson's 433-foot bomb into the bleachers. It was hit 111 miles per hour off the bat. That was a new career high for Tyler Stevenson, the hardest ball he's ever hit. And our deep drive of the day, sponsored as always by Deep South Commodities. DSC is a leader in renewable commodities for biofuel production, specializing in used cooking oil collection, aggregation, and sales. Visit www.deepsouthcommodities.com for more information. Thanks, as always, to our friends at DSC. All right, checking out scores around the NL Central. Cubs beat the Marlins 8-3. Red Sox beat the now ice-cold Pirates 8-1. And the Brewers, they won again. They beat the Cardinals 2-1 in 10 innings. So your NL Central standings on Saturday morning: Brewers sit at 12-6. Cubs are 12-7, Pirates 11-9, Reds 10-9, and the Cardinals are 9-11. All right, well, here is myself and Trace Fowler from Chatterbox Reds Live on YouTube. Stick around at the end. I'll tell you about all the Reds minor league action from Friday night, and we'll preview Saturday's game against the Angels.
All right, Nick, a winning edition. A winning edition. It's been a minute. It's been a minute. It's been a long minute. No, I was not abstaining. It just took a while to get a win. And here we are. I am very thankful. I'm very proud. I am very humbly a Reds fan. I had seen the lineup card, and I'll be the first to admit. I wasn't excited. And the person that I wasn't excited to see in a certain spot just turns out to be a guy that played his tail off. Now, I know you want to put him down there on the rundown. I know where you're going. You got Ellie De La Cruz. Of course, if he does anything, he just rises to the top. But most importantly, I want to shout out Tyler Stevenson before we get this show in front. I want to get out in front of it, just so we're aware.
Apparently, all those hard-hit balls that we have been talking about, that five hard-hit ball game on Sunday, finally rearing its head around the other way. Let's go. He's back, baby.
Now that's being optimistic. All right, let's get right into it. You have Ellie De La Cruz in the rundown here. I'll let you do the honors. Of course, he has been pretty much a one-man wrecking crew as of late offensively for this ball club. It is kind of funny to look back and just think about how crazy a roller coaster this season is when you do a daily show and people are going wild about how Ellie De La Cruz is this, that, and the other. I'm still semi-concerned about what will be his production from the right-handed side of the plate, per se, but not overly concerned, just saying that maybe of all the things that I could say, That's the only area of his game that I would say, you know what, that might not pan out. But when you're as athletic and fast as he is, he changes the game. I mean, I don't – who else in the league? I'm being serious. Who else in the league? Ronald Acuna, I guess, maybe? That can just get on base and then you immediately – they find themselves immediately being able to make an impact and almost just score on their own.
Well, yeah, as you pointed out, I mean, you know, the concern is his ability to hit left-handed pitching. Tonight, didn't hit the ball hard, just a little chopper, right, you know, right up through the middle, but he's able to use his speed to get on base and create a run out of it. I don't know if there's anyone that does anything like that in the sport right now. That's what just allows him not to slump too bad. But even other than, you know, his little cheap hit that he just created a run out of pure chaos, he's also tearing the cover off the ball, at least on the other side. And for a Reds lineup that's been struggling, I mean, this Ellie De La Cruz has really put the Reds on his back right now and is a major reason why the Reds aren't 3 or 4 games under 500. I mean, I know he's not responsible for all those wins. I'm not going overboard, but where would the Reds be if Ellie De La Cruz wasn't playing at a close to an elite level right now?
No, I mean, well, he's, like I said, the thing that makes him elite more times than not is just what he does on the base paths is elite, like elite, like maybe the best. When we say elite, usually that means you're putting him in the category of what, the top handful of guys in the league, maybe top 10, top 15 type suggestion. And I don't know what the analytics or the statistics would say, because I've not got a chance, obviously, to watch everybody play. But point being is that when he gets on the base paths, I can't imagine anybody else being as successful as him in creating havoc. And some of that is probably unquantifiable in regards to the fact, you know, he hits a ball that a guy makes an error on, and then all of a sudden, I don't know if you'd get credited for being the reason the guy makes the error. It just seems like, again, he found a way to score without even another hit being placed. So, you know, I mean, I at this point, you know what he has done, I think, hopefully for the vast majority of rational fans, is he buys himself a significant more time of you just relaxing and being like, all right, Ellie's a guy. Like, we don't need to sit here and keep doing this every week about whether or not he, you know, belongs to be an everyday guy or not an everyday guy, or, you know, whatever it may be. But I am thankful to see that him and Steer, I don't want to say they've put us on our back.
Yeah, and I like your point. I think it's worth reiterating over and over again. He's going to slump again. Let's not be panicked when it happens. Let's not be surprised when it happens. It's the natural progression of a player that's trying to figure things out on the fly. But I liked your point. You can't state it enough about what he does to a defense. Logan O'Hop, looking at the scouting report right now on him, he's an above average 55 grade defensive catcher. And he caused him to just completely throw a ball down the line that never had a chance. A complete just, you know, if that was our catcher, we'd be like, what is he doing, right? I mean, that's if you're on the other side of it, and that's what Ellie does to a defense, and that is not, it's not quantifiable. So Ellie De La Cruz has a 1,000 OPS right now, and he's also doing things that don't even show up in the stats that aren't quantifiable. Man, the sky's the limit. It's just great to see him off to such a great start this season.
Speaking of it right here, as we transition into Lodolo, one thing I was thinking of, being an Angels fan, and I would have been absolutely just raging throughout my house as I watched it, is could you imagine walking Espinal in a one-run game towards, what was it, the eighth inning? Could you imagine? I mean, oh my Lanta, I would be absolutely pissed. But they did it, so thankful. I'm very thankful to them. Shout out to the Angels for that. Nick Lodolo, what more can you say about this guy? You know, the cool thing about this I guess situation is that there was real fear, and fear is maybe a strong word, but there was a real concern that I had with Lodolo, because it felt like, hey, he was slotted to come back. At first, remember, we were told like, oh, it's a foot situation. He'll kind of get it sorted out. Then you realize it was more serious. Then he's supposed to come back towards the end of last season, and then all of a sudden he gets set back from that. And then there was a situation where, hey, he said he's supposedly going to be ready to pitch in spring training, and they're like, well, we want to be precautious. And like, at some point, Nick, I was like, this is like the boy who cried wolf. Like, I'm not sure this guy's going to come back and be what we ultimately want him to be, period. And thankfully, now to his credit, Lodolo mentioned time and time again that he was ready. He felt great. It's just that the Reds wanted to be extra precautious. He wasn't about that. And then obviously he threw in spring training, still not readily available right at the beginning of the year. Comes back and he does look fantastic. And you know what? Remember what Sam LaCure said? What'd Sam LaCure say? What'd he say? What were the rumblings around the old facility, Nick? You remember what I said?
Nick Lodolo has never looked better.
Boy, oh boy, and that might be true.
It is worth pointing out tonight, to be fair. They give up 9 hard hit balls tonight.
Oh, God.
Hey, I'm being fair. When I say the Reds had a bunch of hard hit balls, I should point it out the other way. Now, yeah. just like in Seattle, what did those pitchers do? You make your own luck. Nick Lodolo didn't walk anyone, right?
That's right. Yep.
So that's, you know, you deserve all the credit for that. So again, I don't think Nick Lodolo is going to sustain a 0.75 ERA throughout the year. Like there's going to be some, you know, some natural, I don't want to say regression. I don't think it's like this.
Some turbulence. Maybe. You know, just.
But just, I love the fact that he's just coming out attacking the hitters. At the end of his time last year, he was struggling with that. And I think that maybe now I'm feeling more like that was the injury. That wasn't a flaw or something that he needed to work on. It was really just all the injury. I think his command looks really, really sharp right now. He's the ace of the staff. Please just say a prayer every night this guy could stay healthy, because he completely changes a lot about this team.
Yeah, he does. And you know who else would change a lot about this team if he finds a way to play really, really well? Is Tyler Stevenson. And the thing about Tyler Stevenson is I've always been very, very, very concerned about his defense. I don't know if he's capable of getting better defensively. And I just want to say this. I'm not going to overreact, right? The way that I traditionally would overreact perhaps on the negative side, I should maybe overreact on the optimistic side. But my instinct tells me to pump the brakes. But everybody's going to give Fernando Cruz a lot of credit, right? Tomorrow, he's gonna be one of the guys that maybe is getting talked about in the post game. Tomorrow, when you look at the box score, you're going to be like, wow, Fernando Cruz, based off the box score, did a great job. And he did. He did. He did an unbelievable job. Fernando Cruz came in, shut the door. But if Tyler Stevenson doesn't make those blocks, it's a whole different inning. Guys move up. First of all, there's a run that scores. Guys move to third. And then there was another pitch. There was like 2 or 3 pitches you could have argued. And I'm not saying that it took the world's best catcher to stop them, but I'm saying that all in all, they were above average defensive plays. And he should get credit for that. And I think that it changed the whole complexion of that inning, and it allowed the Reds kind of stay on schedule. We talk about other sports staying on schedule, football especially, staying on schedule. Tyler Stevenson's defensive plays allowed Fernando Cruz to do 2 things. 1, continue to pitch with the guys still being on base. But 2, having the confidence to keep going back to that pitch, because that's his best pitch. And if you get to a spot where you don't trust the fact that your catcher is going to be able to block those pitches, you're probably going to be less likely to be able to throw them. And the big strikeout to end the inning came on a split that basically was a dart right in the lower half of the corner, or lower bottom inside corner. But, the pitch framing and all that, that's one thing, right? That's more of like, what would you consider that? That's more of like a dessert, you know? That's a nice thing to have. The blocks that he made tonight are what would make him somebody that we can trust moving forward, and you can really build upon the foundation of Tyler Stevenson. And I hope that this is more of the same going forward. I hope it's not an outlier, but we will find out.
Yeah, and I'm not as worried about catcher framing, because I don't think you're going to need to be framing for much longer. Like, I think that's going to be
Mr. Robo
something
Man.
Of the past. Couple points on this defense. You know, if the Angels tie up that game, there's probably a good chance that in the 8th inning, they bring in their one lefty. They have 2 lefties in their bullpen, but the other guy's a long man, Matt Moore. He's an absolutely nasty lefty, and he probably faces Ellie De La Cruz in that spot, or maybe even some of the other lefties. I had Nick Martini, for example. So Stevenson blocking that, not allowing the Angels to tie up the game, forced the Angels to use a lesser reliever and not their one really good lefty. because he has pitched, I'm looking at it, 3 of the last 4 days. So you're not going to use him when you're trailing. So there's a good chance that just that itself helped the offense the next inning. Tyler Stevenson, you know, coming into today, this isn't including today, that they're not up to date yet, 99th percentile in barrel percentage. He's 81st percentile in hard hit, 79th in average exit velocity. Like he's been hitting the ball very, very hard, hasn't had a whole lot of results to show for it. I think he looks completely different at the plate. He looks like he's getting under the ball. He's elevating a little bit more. He looks like a much different hitter to me this year. Looks much more just comfortable at the plate. And maybe even when he's having these hard hit outs, it's not as like frustrating for him because he's batting lower in the lineup. It's not as much pressure on him right now. But I think he looks great. I don't want to go overboard and say, man, he's for sure back. Like I joked at the beginning, like we don't need to go that far, but he looks like a different player to this point. And man, if he can keep it up, that's really, really big for this team.
Yeah, they certainly so. It would be Tyler Stevenson's an X factor, right? I think that's safe to say. I think he's one of those guys. He's one of the guys coming into the year that the expectations for him to play, I would say, well or exceedingly well, was out the picture. And most fans, I think, felt that way. Now, whether the club felt like that or not behind closed doors, I don't know. I think it is fair to say that the front office has not made any crazy moves to try to go find a catcher, whether that either be at a lower level and or at the major league level. Now, they did re-sign Maley, but I think some of that was just comfortability. The Reds value clubhouse. I mean, they just do. I mean, I think that if you're a good clubhouse guy and you're really relatively borderline close enough to fulfilling a hole, it's almost like that gets you over the proverbial hump for this team to make the roster. And I think Martini proved that, and I think that Maley was proven that as well with him getting re-signed. So, you know, we'll see moving forward ultimately what Tyler Stevenson's capable of doing, but that'd be a big shot in the arm. Big shot in the arm. All right.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the Game Time app, right? We do this all the time. Every single show, usually we mention the Game Time app at some point during the show. And I'll be honest with you, I was a little concerned. I was watching the game. We were in the seventh inning. We have one run. And I'm like, how am I supposed to tell people to spend their hard-earned money to go down there and watch a team that just can't score? But you know what? After that eighth inning, I thought, you know what? I feel good about it because you can take – it takes two clicks. How many, Nick? Two? Two clicks. And you can have tickets. If you download the Game Time app, you can use the code CINCY, C-I-N-C-Y. You get $20 off your first purchase. And here soon, I'm going to follow. We have a follow-up meeting with those guys. We'll see how we're doing. We'll see if they think our ad reads are good. I know, and I probably should do this because I'll forward it to you, but I just got the new ad read package, and they said, bring up a special memory of your Major League Baseball experience and explain it to the crowd and then get them fired up to go. I mean, what do you want me to say? I don't know. Baseball's fun. Baseball's fun. You go to the ball yard, right? You get you a lemon chill, no free ads. Maybe you get you a cold pilsner, no free ads. Maybe you get you a pizza and a dog. You put them together, some call it a Sky Rosa, no free ads, and you eat it. I'm going to try that, by the way. It seems disgusting. We'll get into that later, maybe. But, oh, you're saying it's good? You think it's going to be great?
I've had it.
What?
Do I not look like a guy that's had a Sky Rosa? I mean, come on now. Like, I've had a Sky Rosa.
It's actually good?
It's magical.
How do you eat it?
You put the coney in the pizza. You roll it. You just roll.
So
you
do you get the coney? Do you get the really quickly here? You get the coney.
I almost put Elliot there.
Yeah. You get a coney. You get a coney, and the pizza, the chili, the whole deal, the cheese, the whole deal in one bite, right?
Yeah. I mean, you eat it like you'd eat it like a piece of pizza, but you got a coney on.
You don't want to show me how you'd eat it?
No, I think I went far enough. Okay,
all right. Well, all right, fair enough. But anyways, if you'd like to do that, you can get your tickets on the Game Time app. Use code CINCY, C-I-N-C-Y, and get $20 off your first purchase. All right, moving forward here in this lovely winning edition of Chatterbox Reds, we have defense. And whose name's next to that is Jonathan India. Wow. What a night. What a night. I do want to say something though. Before I'm gonna let you say all the nice things. I'll be the jerk. Tyler Stevenson, my man Tyler Stevenson, you know, the guy that I slander all the time defensively, he threw a dime down to second base. And Jonathan just couldn't squeeze it. But that's okay. Otherwise, shout out to Jonathan.
It was more of a defense slash India as two topics because we ran out of space. Although India did make the really nice glove flip. But just overall, I mean, Stearman.
Wait a minute now. Are you talking about that ball that was like 4 feet left of second base?
I know you're going to talk about the shift, but
that's the play you're talking about, right?
Yes, Jonathan India, in spite of the terrible defensive alignment that his coaching staff put him out there
My
for,
gosh.
He overcame it all and made a glove flip to Ellie De La Cruz for the out.
You're finally getting it. You're finally getting it. I'm proud of you, Nick. You're coming around. You're coming around.
You just got to lean into it at this point.
Well, I mean, listen, I'm going to tell you right now, if you watch the game, I'm going to put it in here. We'll let the chat decide. I want to know if it was a double play with a routine infield, routine double play infield. We'll get to that later. I don't want to talk about that.
But no, like Steer, did you see Steer's play earlier in the game? Ellie had to make a tough play in the hole, throw to first base. The runner beat it out, like just a normal, you know, beating out an infield single. Nothing really crazy about it. But the runner at second tried to go all the way around and score. Steer, clean turn, throw a bullet home. Perfect strike to Stevenson. For Steer, a guy that has barely played first base, it was one of the more impressive defensive plays I've seen from him. Ellie made a really nice play in this game. We saw the play from India. This is not going to be a good defensive team. We know that with the personnel they have right now. But it is nice to see them still finding a way to making some plays. And, you know, maybe in terms of the 1 to 10 scale, maybe it's not a 1 defensively. Maybe they're like a 3. Like, and that's fine. Like, if this team with the personnel they have right now could be a 3, maybe a 3.5 if we really want to feel optimistic, you can get by a little bit more until you get some of these other guys back.
This defense, I don't think anybody's going to be hanging their hat on it. So anytime you get positive production out of that in a night, you talk about it. It's been good. Congratulations. Some other news that isn't so great, though. I know that my man Elliot Rearing today, the Zebra, he decided he was going to put out a post about Ian Jabeau. Unfortunately, he doesn't have great news, but I'll let you kind of get into the nuggets of that. And then obviously, was there an update on Friedel that I miss?
Yeah, there was an update. Basically, he's 10 days to 2 weeks. So I guess that's, 10 to 14 days away from returning. Everything is good so far. So it looks like he's close to starting a rehab assignment here in the next couple of weeks. So, man, that's just huge. Jabeau, he stopped his rehab assignment. Anyone who's been, you know, following our minor league reports every day probably shouldn't be shocked. I think he had like an ERA over 20. He had not looked good. His velocity was down. You know, all the worries about who's gonna never worry about who's gonna replace who in a bullpen when they come back from injury? Because I swear it never ends up happening, right?
Correct. Yes. I was even thinking today, I think I was called bipolar earlier in the chat. That's fine. I don't care. Whatever. I mean, if that's what you want to call me, by all means. But if you don't think that I wasn't a little bit sad when I opened up my phone when I seen I had a notification from the Cincinnati Reds and it told me that Tyler Stevenson and Stuart Fairchild and Espinal were in the lineup. And it wasn't even so much, it's just where they were hitting. And it just, I don't know. I just, for an instance, I just closed my eyes and I was thinking, man, I was just like envisioning a season where I had Matt McClain and I had, I don't know, TJ Friedel and I have Noelvé Marte and I have CES and I got Jamier Candelario. And it's like, wow, what are we going to do with all these options? How in the world are we going to get everybody in the game? What are we going to do? How are they all going to hit? Are we going to ask the Major League Baseball to change the rules and we're just going to roster bat? We got so many guys. And here I am thinking to myself, I'm sitting here on April 19th. And we got just the bottom of the barrel. So from now on, I'm just I think I, when we go into spring training, I'm just going to be like Nick. I think I see where Nick goes with this now. It's like, there'll be an injury. There's going to be an injury. There's going to be 2, 3, 4, 5, maybe 6 injuries. I'm just going to relax, hold the phone, and we'll wait it out.
Jonathan India, we're like, where's this guy going to play?
Yeah.
Now he's at an 0-for-24 slump, and you can't even give the guy a day off. There's no options. There's no one. Right. There's no one to replace him at second base, the position he wasn't even allowed to play anymore. It is wild. It has been a wild. It's only been like, what, 6 weeks since all this happened? It feels like it was 3 years ago.
Correct. Yeah. It came fast. Some are blaming us for going on the trip, but I don't think that was our fault. Who knows? We shall find out.
All right, let's get you caught up on all the Reds minor league action. We'll start off with AAA, the Louisville Bats. They swept the doubleheader from the Iowa Cubs. They won game 1, 9-6, won game 2, 4-1. Bats improved to 9-10 on the season. Huge day for Mike Ford. He was 4-for-8. He had a home run. That's already his 6th of the season. He doubled, he walked, and he actually stole a base his first of the year. Ford had a total of 3 balls, hit over 100 miles per hour in the 2 games. Reese Hines was 2-for-8, did steal 2 bags. He's got 4 on the season. Tough day for Connor Capel, just 1-for-7 with a walk. Even tougher day for Michael Trotwine, 0-for-7, did walk. Trotwine, a catcher I know the Reds really love, especially mostly his defense, but he's hitting just 148 with a 5.45 OPS so far. Carson Spires, he started game 2. He did throw 4 2/3 shutout innings, but he did walk 4 batters and struck out 3. Tony Santion, he pitched a perfect inning in game 1. To end that game, he struck out 1 batter. And Blake Dunn, he's still not in the lineup. He hasn't been placed on the IL yet either. Dunn did pinch run on the 12th and the 14th, but we haven't seen him since, and no word yet on what's going on there. I'm just assuming some sort of, you know, elbow or back injury or something like that. All right, down to AA, Chattanooga. They lost 5-3 to Biloxi. Lookouts have now lost 4 straight. They fall to 3-9 on the season. Julian Aguiar was a starting pitcher. He allowed 3 runs over 5 2/3 innings, just 1 walk and struck out 5. Aguiar was cruising through the first few innings. Going into the 5th inning, he'd only faced 1 batter over the minimum, but he gave up a home run in the 5th and then a couple of hits in the 6th before he was chased. Not a whole lot going on the offense. Tough day for Tyler Callahan. He was 0-for-5 with 4 strikeouts. Austin Hendrick was 1-for-3. Jose Torres was on base twice, and he did steal 2 bags. All right, down to High A, the Dayton Dragons. They lost 5-3 to Fort Wayne. Rhett Lauder looked human for the first time in his professional career. He gave up 3 runs over 4 2/3 innings. Struggled a little bit with his command on this one. Walked 3 batters and hit a batter, and he only struck out 1. Not a whole lot from the offense. Cam Collier was 0-for-4 with 2 strikeouts. Sal Stewart, 1-for-5. Carlos Jorge was 1-for-3, did steal a bag. Hector Rodriguez, 0-for-4 with a walk. Leo Balcazar was 0-for-4. And Victor Acosta, 1-for-3. And last but certainly not least, the Daytona Tortugas. They won 4-1 over Bradenton. Alfredo Duno had a big day. 3-for-4 with a double and a triple. The triple, in fact, 106.3 off the bat, going 400 feet off the wall. Carlos Sanchez, 0-for-3 with 2 walks. Ricardo Cabrera, 1-for-3. He stole a bag, his 2nd of the season. Dominic Patelli, 1-for-4. He stole a bag, his 5th of the season. On the pitching side, the crafty lefty, maybe crafty might be the wrong word, he's kind of a dominant pitcher, Adam Cerwinski, another great performance by him. 4 innings pitched, just gave 1 hit, no runs, walked 2, struck out 3. Cerwinski's yet to allow a run in 12 innings so far this season. And then a note from our good friend Reds fan Brandon once again. A guy named Nestor Laurent piggybacked Cerwinski. He tossed 5 innings, allowing just 1 run with no walks and 10 strikeouts. Laurent threw 32 changeups and hitters swung and missed at 13 of their 20 swings. That's a 65% whiff rate. I was kind of fascinated by this. Laurent is honestly a guy I've never heard of. He's out of Venezuela. He's been in the Reds organization since 2019. That's really about all I could find on him. His fastball velocity was only 92 miles per hour, but nonetheless, a very impressive performance from Nestor Laurent on Friday night. All right, Reds and Angels game two. Reds looking for a quick series win. That'd be great to see. 6:40 p.m. on Saturday night. It'll be Graham Ashcraft. He comes in 2-1, 4.15 ERA, going up against the lefty Patrick Sandoval, 1-2, 4.67 ERA. Ashcraft coming off a solid outing his last time out, struck out a season-high 8 batters while just allowing 1 earned run over 5 2/3 against the White Sox. Ashcraft did face the Angels last year, actually struck out 10 in that game, gave up 3 earned runs over 7 innings pitched. The 3 runs were all solo home runs. One was to Brandon Drury, one was to Logan O'Hop, and the other to Mike Moustakas. He won't have to worry about the Moose on Saturday night, but he will have to worry about Drury and O'Hop. And Mike Trout, he was 0-3 with a strikeout last year against Ashcraft. All right, Patrick Sandoval for the Angels, now in his 6th MLB season. Sandoval was really good in 2022, fairly average last year. He's coming off his best start of this season his last time out. He allowed just 1 run over 5 innings against the Rays. Sandoval, not a guy who throws very hard. Average fastball just around 93 miles per hour last season. His slider and curveball were his 2 most effective pitches last season. Sandoval's only career appearance against the Reds was actually his major league debut back on August 5th, 2019 at Great American Ballpark. Sandoval gave up just 2 runs over 5 innings pitched and actually struck out 8 batters in that game. He came in the 2nd inning of that game as the Angels use an opener. Reds against Sandoval, just 4 batters that have faced him. Jamer Candelario is 2-for-8. Santiago Espinal's 0-for-4. Jake Fraley's 0-for-2. And Bubba Thompson, interesting to see if he gets in the lineup, he is 1-for-2. All right. Well, thanks so much for listening today to Chatterbox Reds. Appreciate all your support. As always, make sure you subscribe to Chatterbox Reds wherever you listen to this podcast. Make sure you subscribe to Chatterbox Sports on YouTube, where we have live post-game shows after every game and all kinds of other great Cincinnati sports content and beyond. If you subscribe over on Chatterbox Sports on YouTube, make sure you hit the bell in the top right corner so you'll be notified anytime that we do go live. If you could also leave us a 5-star review wherever you listen to this podcast. I haven't got any 5-star reviews in a while, so it'd be great to see some of those flow back in. But most importantly, if you know a Reds fan, make sure you tell them about Chatterbox Reds and what we do here. Word of mouth is still the best way, in my opinion, to grow shows like this. All right. We'll hope that you have a fantastic Saturday. We'll talk again on Chatterbox Reds Live on YouTube around 9 p.m. or so on Saturday night. And, of course, if you missed that or if you just want to listen again, we'll be in your podcast feed bright and early on Sunday morning. Have a great day. Go Reds.